Thank you, worship team. Good morning. Have any of you ever been on the receiving end of kind of a backhand, condescending comment that, you know, after someone said it, you felt kind of insignificant? Anybody ever experienced that? You know, kind of, yeah, this backhanded comment. I think we are a people, and it seems more and more, but we are a people that are creative, right, in how that we verbally critique the way a person dresses or looks or talks and acts. And so we do that very creatively. Even in the South, we have our own little phrases that we like to say. I mean, this is an old one. It goes way back, and you know, maybe you've heard it. But when someone says, bless your heart, bless your heart, right? Bless your heart. Now listen. If you're not from the South, you need to understand this is not a generous blessing that someone is praying over your life, okay? It's not what that is. I mean, this is a Southern person's way of saying, we love you. We love you, but we feel sorry for you. Bless your little heart. Yeah. Someone referred to this saying as a sour candy dipped in sugar, right? Others have said it is a form of nice meanness. Kind of nice meanness. And, you know, unfortunately, there are so many people, even in churches, you know, just thousands of churches and believers everywhere that really have perfected the condescending art of nice meanness. Let's see if I can get this thing. You know, we've kind of perfected that, right? And go ahead and hand me that just in case this doesn't work. And so we kind of work on that, and like I say, we get pretty good at that. And very few people have captured this as well, I think, as comedian John Chris. He kind of takes shots at people, everybody, you know. But he's a Christian comedian, and he recently released a video on how hard it is to really find a church when you're on vacation. All right, so watch this video and kind of laugh along with him.
All right, Sunday morning, we got to find a church to go to.
It should be easy. There are a bunch when we were driving.
Seems like there was one on every block. It can't be that hard, right?
They're everywhere. Seatbelt on.
We're still in the parking lot.
Well, you know I worry.
Okay, here's one up here. Listen, Church of Jesus Christ. That's us.
Of Latter-day Saints.
Nah, okay, no.
Can't do that.
Okay, here we go, right here.
Oh, I love the funny church signs. What's that say?
What is it? Choose the bread of life or your toast.
No. Oh, I'm gluten-free. I can't go there.
Okay.
Is that Echo Church?
The churches with the nightclub names, I don't love those.
Plus, we're a new creation, and we both came out of that lifestyle.
Yes.
Praise them, raise them. Okay, what about that one? United Pentecostal Church.
Okay, well, you're not getting in there. You're wearing pants, so for sure no.
Oh, I forgot my long denim skirt. You're right.
Plus, you're wearing too much makeup.
What?
No, for the denomination. They got a thing about women and makeup and stuff.
I don't think they do.
No, you look great. I'm just saying it's not just for there.
Yeah, you should stop talking. Oh, is that Iglesia de Cristo?
Really, with the accent? Let's not do this.
Well, I've been using Rosetta Stone.
You don't speak Spanish. We're not going to a Spanish-speaking church.
I kind of speak Spanish.
You don't.
Well, I like traditional. I like neutrals.
Got it. Yep.
I don't want something too progressive.
Sure.
I don't like steeples, but I also don't like strip malls.
Okay, so like something in the middle.
Okay, potential church?
Yeah, maybe next year.
Okay.
You didn't get the joke.
It's not funny.
Okay. All right, here we go. Barnabas Anglican Church. Anglican? Can we do that?
Oh, and it looks like they have a female pastor. Really?
No, I'm just saying I'd rather not.
Do you want to sleep on the couch tonight?
Babe, this is way harder than I thought, honestly.
I know. We're in a city. There's got to be an Andy Stanley satellite church somewhere.
I mean, right? If not, there's probably one coming soon.
I'm sure they've already got a building fund.
Wow.
Okay, Ebenezer Baptist Tabernacle.
Is that a black church?
What?
I'm just saying you wouldn't last in there. All the dancing and moving. Ebenezer Baptist Tabernacle. You can't even clap on rhythm at the white church, okay?
I watched The Potter's House, first of all. Second of all, I love T.D. Jakes and I follow his daughter on Instagram.
Okay.
Oh, what about Kingdom Hall of Jehovah's Witnesses?
I don't know how it works there with visitors. Can we just walk in or do we have to knock first?
That was dumb.
Come on, that's hilarious!
Cathedral of St. Peter?
I don't know. Is that Catholic?
I don't know. How can you tell?
I don't know, with the Catholic Church, you always need to look for the keywords: saint, perpetual, Sacred Heart, anything Guadalupe related, if we're not in Mexico, for me is a no-go.
But what about like a mega church?
I don't want like a mega church. I'm out on any church that has like cops directing
traffic. Two hands on the wheel.
It has cops directing traffic, I'm out. It's going to take forever to get to lunch.
Okay, you're right.
All right, here we go. Look, New Hope Church of God. We can do that, right?
Church of God. Is that the one with no instruments?
I think, is that Church of Christ?
Oh, no, it's Church of Christ. I grew up Church of Christ. We couldn't even wear tank tops. No thanks.
Okay, good. Great voices, though. Great a cappella.
I'd still rather. Oh, Jericho's House of Praise.
What, are we just going to drive around it seven times? Maybe then we'll decide.
What?
It's a joke.
I don't get it.
Well, read your Bible.
Okay, what about this tabernacle?
Okay, as a general rule, tabernacles, cathedrals, temples, synagogues are all out.
At least the synagogue would have a yarmulke to put on that hair.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. Is that Hillsong?
Thank you. Lead me to the cross. This is perfect. Let's go. Oh, babe, we're on vacation. I didn't bring my skinny jeans. We can't go to Hillsong.
Yeah, but those have holes in them. They look fine.
What? No.
Definitely can't wear that Tommy Hilfiger shirt. What do you have on underneath that?
I wear it to the office. Oh. I don't know, like a V-neck or
something.
Oh,
yeah.
Like
just wear the V-neck and put these on.
These glasses? They don't even have lenses
Trust
in them.
Trust me.
Why?
Yeah, you look like Carl Lentz.
What? Okay. Okay, you know what? Not going here.
Well, he's an attractive man.
We're going to brunch.
Always good to laugh. You know, one thing I really believe about Jesus is that he had a sense of humor, and you just kind of read some of his stories and the way he taught. So, you know, it's good to laugh, and sometimes to laugh at ourselves. But I'm starting this new series today that I'm calling Honor Culture. And it really comes out of over this past year. I go to Chick-fil-A a lot, and I meet with guys there, and just sitting there in Chick-fil-A and just kind of watching this culture that they've developed there at Chick-fil-A, and just this whole my pleasure thing. And I begin to think, wow, you know, they've kind of created this culture of honor. And I really begin to think as followers of Christ, as believers, as his body, that he's calling us back to this culture of honor. I read a book here recently called Covert Cows, and really it's just the story of Chick-fil-A again and how faith and cows and chicken build an iconic brand. But Steve Robinson, senior vice president, wrote this of his journey with Truett Cathy, and as I read that, he said this about Truett Cathy, and it's really what they built their whole purpose statement on and their whole vision, you know, for their company. But he said Truett Cathy had this sincere desire to honor God in every area of his life and to have a positive influence on every person he came in contact with. And, you know, as you read the story, his story, you just realize that was his passion. That's what, you know, drove him, that he had this sincere desire to honor God in every area of his life and to have a positive influence on every person he came in contact with. And I began to think about that. Actually, I was thinking about it the other day, just sitting in the car line at Chick-fil-A. If you've done that, you've experienced that 30-minute, interruption in your life just to sit there and wait. But, you know, just I began to think, wow, what if we got back to that, where we got back to this culture of honor, where we weren't so quick to dishonor people or disrespect people, but we come back to have this culture of honor, that we would first of all honor God above anything else, and out of that honor would flow an honor and a respect for others around us. And that's what I want to do in this series. I want to kind of call us back to that, to this culture of honor, so that maybe as we finish this series, we'll learn a little bit more how to treat everyone we meet with honor and with value. Our theme verse throughout this series is going to be Romans 12, verse 10, and it says this: be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. And so in this series, I'm going to be challenging us to begin to figure out ways how to outdo each other with honor. We're going to look at a couple passages this morning. We're going to start in the Old Testament. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Malachi. It's the last book of the Old Testament. And just kind of read a couple of verses there, and then also look at a New Testament passage this morning as we begin to try to figure out where's the honor, where has the honor gone in our country, in our churches, and the people of God. So Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 says this. It says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. And God says, if I'm a father, where is the honor due me? If I'm a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. He says, it is you, O priest. And in the Old Testament, the priests were just, you know, this small group of men who did the ministering to others. But in the New Testament, the Bible teaches that all believers are priests. And of course, we here at The Rock, it's one of our core values, the priesthood of the believer. We believe that every believer has direct access to God and in prayer and confession and praise and worship without any kind of human intermediary. You know, you just come straight to God. We are, the Bible says, we are a kingdom of priests. And so now as I read this verse, I begin to realize that this verse applies to you and to me, right? It says, it's you, O priest, who show contempt for my name. It's you, church, that show contempt. And contempt there means a feeling that that someone or something is not worthy of any honor or approval. It's kind of a lack of honor for something that is usually honored. And it's like God is saying, you know, it's kind of like we've reduced it down lower than it should be. That we've reduced the honor that we have for our God down to what it really should be. And then it says, but you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? And that's what we're going to talk about today. You know, where's the honor? And here's what I think about our generation. I think we've lost some honor for others. I mean, just think about it. The younger guys for their elders, men for women, right? Honor for those in authority, our government, leaders in the church, our military. We live in a generation where it's cool to criticize others, you know, whoever they are. And so we text and we post and we blog and we just speak out against each other. And I believe there's some things that are due some honor. And so next week we'll look at the Bible and where it talks about five things that should receive honor. And then the week after that we'll talk about how we show honor in those areas. But today I want to begin to help us, by helping us to define honor and to understand what it really means to honor others. Because I believe it's time for us, especially as believers, it's time for us to get back to a little old school when it comes to honor. You know, I've shared this with the guys before. Man, it's time for us to kind of rise up and to treat ladies with respect, to treat ladies with the honor that they deserve. Time to go back to opening the door for them or tipping your hat or treating them with respect. Right? Is that right, ladies? Come on, give me some amens that I'm trying to preach for you today. But, you know, it's time for us to get back to that, to begin to really show the honor that women, you know, that are created by God deserve. And some of you men would say, well, wait a minute, Monty, I don't think they want that anymore, right? I don't think they want. You ever experienced that, guys? You ever experienced where you've gone to open the door for a lady or a woman and they said, oh, you don't need to do that for me, you know, and kind of give you that kind of attitude? Here's what I think, though. I think they want us to get back to doing that. And I would say that they would kind of say, no, you don't have to do that anymore. And that's because they have been forced into a place to make up for where we as men have dropped the ball. We need to get back to treating them like ladies that they are, the creation of God that they are. I want us to come back to a culture of honor, to some old school principles when it really comes to honor, because I believe when you honor others, you honor God. Or maybe I should say it this way, when you honor God, out of that will flow an honor, a value, a respect for others. So what would it look like? What would it look like if our families... What would it look like, guys, if you showed, kids, if you showed the proper respect and honor to your parents, right? We'll get to that in the weeks ahead, but what would that look like? What would it look like, you know, parents, if we treated our kids with honor? What would it look like? How would it be different if, at the marketplace, on our jobs, we begin to treat one another with honor? What would it look like if there was more of a you know, more yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, right? Or no, sir, no, ma'am. You say, well, money, that's kind of Southern. No, I mean, I think that's Christian. Just to begin to show and get back some honor. The Bible tells us to honor all those in authority, to honor, which means, I think, to honor our flag. And we can kind of experience that over the last several years, just that going on. And I get the protest, and I understand that. But I think it's time to kind of now set that aside and move forward and say, no, we're going to get back to this culture of honor, this revival of honor. Showing proper respect to the symbol of freedom that that people have paid for by their blood, hundreds of thousands of people, our servicemen and women, showing honor, getting back to some honor. If you look in Malachi 2, right after the chapter 1 there, in those first two verses, he goes on to say, "And now this admonition is for you, O priest or O church. If you do not listen and if you not set your heart to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse upon you and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I've already cursed them because you have not set your heart to honor me." God says to set your heart. Not to do it out of obligation or duty or law, but we want to do it because it is the love of our hearts. The New Testament uses two words for getting you to behave correctly. And one of them is a word that says, do it because I said to do it. And it's where you would see the word obedience a lot. You do it whether you feel like doing it or not. But the other word is translated submission. This word means to become a delight of your heart to do it. And we don't think of submission that way, but that's really what it means. It means, that it becomes a delight of your heart to do it. You're not submitting. You're not submitting because you've been told to. You're doing it because it's your delight. You want to show honor, to respect people by serving them. We don't want to have to work to honor people in our lives. It needs to become a delight. A delight of our heart. I read a story in here about Mr. Kathy. It says this. I'll just read it to you. Maybe I can read it. Let's see. Let's pull out these glasses. Yeah. It says, on a grand opening day at one of the Chick-fil-A's, as usual, Truett was there in the line offering samples of Chick-fil-A to the shoppers. As we returned to the kitchen to get a fresh plate of samples, he said to me, to Steve Robinson, who was with him that day, he said, that girl's not smiling. He pointed to Martha, and she seemed to be having a bad day and certainly was not smiling. And so Steve says, I went to Martha and told her she was to smile at the customers, and I walked away. When Truett returned for another plate of samples, he said, she's still not smiling. And I said, well, I'll see that she does it this time. But instead, Truett stopped me and said, no, I'll take care of it. And I was puzzled. What did he intend to do that he thought would be better than the instructions I was giving her? And so I watched him. Truett walked up to Martha and said, why is it that every time I look at you, you are smiling? And she did give him a little smile, but it didn't last. And I thought, yeah, this is not going to work, Truett. But he said, I kept my eye on her and Truett. And the next time he passed her as he went into the kitchen, he said, there you are, smiling again. And she gave him a bigger smile that lasted a little longer. And by this time, I was giving my full attention to watching the two of them. Truett would often turn from sampling to smile at Martha. Every time he did, she would smile back. Soon Martha was wearing a big, beautiful smile that lasted the rest of the day. I just begin to think about that, that we begin to, serve other people and to honor other people in the way that we treat them, to set our hearts to honoring God, and out of that flows an honoring of other people. Jesus said, I don't want behavior modification. I want your hearts. I want you to do, I don't want you to, I don't want you to want to do it. I want you to want to do it, not have to do it. I don't want you to talk, talk you into doing something, to force you to do something. I want you to set your hearts to honor. And then he said, use that word curse in there. He said, you're going to be cursed. And he's not saying that I'll punish you if you don't do this. What he's really saying is you're already cursed if you don't. Because God never came to get you out of the curse. God never came to curse you. He came to get you out of the curse that already exists. And so he says, you know, set your hearts to honor. Because if not, you won't experience the blessings that I have for you. So the definition of honor, the words for it in the Bible, in the Hebrew is kavod, and in the New Testament, in the Greek, it's timea. And it means to value, to respect, to highly esteem. It means to treat as precious, weighty or valuable, to ascribe worth to it, to esteem and to value, you know, to give it weight. I love that definition, to give it weight. It's kind of like if there was a big giant boulder in the middle of the road, you would honor that. You wouldn't just drive right into it. You'd be a spot on the road. You ascribe worth to it and weight to it, and you go around it. And that's what God is talking about when he talks about honor. I have a basketball here, and I ought to be able to palm that, shouldn't I? This would be just a common, ordinary basketball, except that I have made it valuable because of the names. It becomes valuable to me because of the names that are written on it. This is the first group of interns that we ever had here at the Rock Community Church, and so this is very valuable to me, you know, because I can read those names and I can think about where they are right now and what's going on in their lives, and I can pray for them. And so it creates this value for me. And, you know, I have many basketballs that I play with that are just common and ordinary, but because of the worth that I give them, the value that I give them, you know, this is, you know, I honor this ball. You know, it sits on my shelf, and, you know, I don't just use it as a common basketball. There's something valuable to me, and so, you know, it's not just common or ordinary. And so what does honoring do? Honoring esteems, it lifts up. Dishonoring kind of tears down and devalues. To honor someone is to believe the best about them. To dishonor them is to believe the worst. Honor lifts, dishonor tears down. I had opportunity when I was a senior in college to go and lead this Bible devotion for the president of the university. The president at that time was Dr. Marston, and president of the University of Florida. And every month he held, you know, kind of a Bible devotional time, prayer time, where all of his leadership, his VPs, would come, and someone would come and lead a devotion. So I got asked to lead a devotion, and I can just remember going, oh my goodness, you know, how nervous I was to kind of step into this with these men and women who, you know, had given so much honor, especially President Marston. He was a Christian, a believer, a follower of Christ, and I just, you know, I just respected him so much. And, you know, I've been speaking at FCA groups and at fraternities and sororities, kind of Greek groups, and been doing that my senior year, but this, for some reason, you know, this was very special to me. And I can remember just how much, you know, how nervous I was as I stepped into that room, and I sat there and looked around that table and saw those men and women there, and, you know, my heart was beating so fast, and I, you know, couldn't stay, you know, I was shaken, and it was really just because of the honor I had given those men and women in my lives, just, you know, who they were. And I think about that sometimes. What if we treated everybody that way? What if we gave value to everybody, no matter their position, just because of they're created in the image of God? What if we, you know, what if we treated, what if our generation, what if we, just as the Rock Church, began to treat everybody like that, to give everybody that kind of honor? You know, where's the honor? Because I think we're becoming a generation without honor, and therefore missing the blessings of God. So I want to give you an example of a story when Jesus was actually limited in what he was able to do because of his own hometown. The people who should have honored him the most honored him the least. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn over to Mark chapter 6, Matthew, Mark, right there, right after Malachi. Mark chapter 6. Let me kind of set the context for you. Jesus was returning back to his hometown, not his birthplace, but the place where he had grew up a year prior to this visit. He was actually in that town. He was actually run out of town, and his own people threatened to kill him. So he comes back after this tour, we'd say maybe a teaching tour, and he was there teaching God's word. He'd been doing teaching God's word all over the place, doing all kinds of sorts of miracles, right? Turning water into wine. He raised the dead. He opened blind eyes. He healed deaf ears. Multiplied loaves and fishes, and to feed thousands. He had healed Peter's mother-in-law. Which many scholars believe is why Peter later denied Christ, but that's just a side thing. That's not true. I was just joking. That was just, a bad mother-in-law joke. But he was doing all these miracles, right? And then he came back to his hometown and actually couldn't do as much because of a lack of honor and faith. Look at verse 1. It says, Jesus left there and went to his hometown accompanied by his disciples. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked, what's this wisdom that has been given to him that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. And he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. That phrase, those two words, without honor, is the Greek word atomos, and it means to dishonor, to treat as common or as ordinary. And as I said, dishonoring devalues and tears down. To honor someone is to believe the best about them. To dishonor is to believe the worst. Honor lifts. Dishonor tears them down. It removes the weight. And I think we become a generation that has begun to take some things too lightly. Just to take honoring God and the way that we live that out in our faith walk, honoring his people, honoring his church. We have begun to take those things so lightly. We treat something as common and ordinary that shouldn't be common or ordinary. And we need to get back to honor. I mean, the Son of God was limited by the attitude of the recipients. So let me just give you two things that brings dishonor, that causes dishonor from this passage. The first one is familiarity. Anyone that you're accustomed to, right? Anyone that you've been around a lot, you become familiar with them, and if you're not careful, you will dishonor them. Kind of look at the root word of familiarity there. What is it? What is the root word for familiarity? Anybody see that? Family, the place where we know each other the best. He says, if we're not careful, it will cause dishonor. Let me just say this: if you want a common and an ordinary marriage, let me tell you how to get one. I promise this will work. If you want a common and ordinary marriage, just dishonor your spouse. Treat them as common or ordinary. I mean, why is it in the early years, it's great and you're all in love. Why is that? Because you continually show honor. You open the door, you bring presents, there's some flowers, I love you, sugar pudding, or whatever your word is for your special one. You're showing honor over and over and over and over again. And what happens, right? What happens? You continue to go through the years, and if you're not careful, all of a sudden you start taking one another for granted. You begin, instead of showing honor, you treat each other as common, and suddenly what was great becomes common because you dishonor them. Dishonoring tears down and devalues. So again, students, what would it look like if you amazed your parents with honor? I think about my guys when they were growing up. I always made sure when mom speaks, right, when mom would speak or when mom would say something, and I have to be careful with this because I find myself even doing it now that my boys are grown up, I have to be really careful and I'm preaching to myself. But when mom speaks, it's not what, right? It's not what? No, I mean, they were expected to respond and come. It's yes, ma'am, as they were moving toward her to find out what she needs, right? Not in a minute, I'm almost done with level 13. No, it's yes, ma'am, as he is moving toward her to find out what he can do for her. And I'm telling you, if they do that, right? If my boys would do that, if they honored Kim in that way, they get in on the receiving end of their father's blessings. Right? And if they didn't, right? I'm going to curse them, right? I'm going to curse them. No, just kidding. But you see, there's blessings that come when we honor one another. And so I'm calling us, you and me, to a revival of honor. To a revival of honor. To a culture of honor. In our church, among our families, in marriages, as parents. And if we do that, I believe we'll begin to see the blessings of our Heavenly Father. Another thing that causes dishonor is offenses. And they took offense at him, it says. And you can never honor that which offends you. If you're offended, for example, if you're offended by the government, it's hard to honor it, all right? But Romans 13 says, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. I mean, we can be disagreeable, but respectful at the same time. If you're offended, guys, if you're offended by your parents, you can't honor them. Ephesians 6:2 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. You see, honor brings a blessing with it. So how do we do that? How do we set our hearts to honor? How do we begin to set our hearts to honor? And I'm just going to give you some reasons that we honor and that will help us begin to set our hearts in that direction. The first thing is we honor people because people matter to God. Honor doesn't begin with our assessment of someone, right? What we think about someone or some group of people. It doesn't begin there. It begins on God's view of them. He created them. He loves them. And he died for them. People matter to him. And so if they matter to our God, they better matter to you and to me. And I begin to think about that. I think I do okay honoring people, except sometimes. You know, I do okay except those guys on the phone. You ever get those service people on the phone or those, you know, phone calls where you're trying to get a hold of somebody and you can't seem to get to them or you can't talk to the right person? And I find myself, if I'm not careful, I find myself dishonoring the person who can't really do anything anyway and, you know, can only tell me what, you know, they're supposed to. But I find myself dishonoring them if I'm not careful. Or even somebody that comes and does some work for me in my house to service something, if I'm not careful, I begin to dishonor them. Especially, I find that on the road. And I've shared with you all the kind of stories about my road issues. But, you know, somebody kind of gets in front of me or goes too slow, you know, I might sometimes even call them a jerk, right? And come on. And you're such a jerk. You know, confession is good for the soul, but bad for the reputation. And so I know I have a reputation for that. And so here's what I begin to think about. Every time I use that word jerk or say that or think that or have that in my mind, I go, you know, well, God says, Monty, that's my jerk. That's God's child, God's son, God's daughter. And when you begin to change your view from what maybe they deserve, you think they deserve to change that to maybe what God's claim for them is, it changes everything and should begin to bring an attitude of honor. Ephesians 5:21 says again, it says to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And that word submission again means not that they deserve it. You know, no, we do it out of reverence for Christ. We treat people based on not my view of them, but my view of him. Not my view of them. It becomes, I get to a place where it becomes a delight of my heart to honor them. Not because someone tells me I need to do that, but because of how much I know my God loves them. And I begin to submit to that call on my life to begin to develop an honor, a culture of honor in my own heart, in my own relationships, because of I know how God loves them. You're not submitting because you've been told to. You're doing it because it is your delight. You want to show honor. You want to respect people by serving them. And so I want to honor our students here, the ones that went to Eagle Rock. About 50 of them went to Eagle Rock a few weeks ago. And I just want to honor them for the way that they served the children and the special friends on the mountain. Just honor you guys. But as I sit there watching you guys and looking at you, you know, love on them and take care of them and help them into the vehicles and hold umbrellas over their head as it was raining. I just looked at that and thought of the verse, you know, that says, what you did for the least of these, you did for me. That you're really being the hands and feet of Jesus and actually serving people as if they were Jesus. What you did for the least of these, you did for me. And so when I'm quick to call someone a jerk, here's what I really begin to realize. It's like I'm calling God a jerk. I know that might be extreme for you, but that's what I want to call us to this place of honor, where we really begin to understand that every person is created in the very image of God and that they matter to Him so much that He gave His one and only Son to die on a cross for them so that they could be forgiven, so that they could come into a relationship with Him. And so they ought to matter to me. The second thing we do, we honor because it benefits me. Right? There's blessings with it. We don't necessarily do things to get something in return, but the Bible teaches that when we honor others, it benefits us too. Depending on your attitude toward them, it's going to determine what you receive from them. I had opportunity to preach the 100-year reunion at First Baptist of Mulberry, and I was so excited to do that. You know, it's their 100th year anniversary, and I got to go in there, and I just honored those people so much because of the place that they had in my life and how God had used them in my life. And so there was just this honor there for me, this value that I had given them, and I was blessed by the response that came back. I mean, I did a terrible job. I mean, it was many years ago, about 8 years ago, and it was bad. I know it was bad, but it didn't matter. I could have said anything, right? And there was a value. There was an honoring going on there. I went to Passion several years ago, and John Piper, this great preacher, gets up there, and you know, and he says, "This is the day the Lord has made," and everybody went crazy, you know, and the 50,000 students going, "Yes, yes, yes." Now, I say that, "This is the day the Lord has made," and crickets, right? You guys go, "Yeah, school, this is the day." Yeah, right? Some of you might start humming, "This is the day, this is," but most of you say, "Yeah," right? It's the honor that we give, that we'll get something back in return. There's a blessing that comes back to us. I speak at Lakeland Christian Chapel sometime, and, you know, I come in there, you know, and I really think I'm passionate, I'm excited, you know, "Oh, they're going to love this. This is from God's Word." And, you know, they're sitting there texting and, you know, doing their homework. Not much honor, right? And so because of that, there's not much blessing that flows back and forth. The level of honor you give will determine the blessings you receive. The more you value it, the more you will value from it. Ephesians 6, 2 and 3 says, "Honor your father and mother," here it is again, "which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on earth." There's a blessing, guys. It blesses me. It blesses you. And then third, honor is decided. It's not deserved, right? You honor someone, and it's just what you... You know, it's just what you've decided in your heart to do, to show honor to someone. You can't give honor to only those that deserve it. You have to decide to honor them if they deserve it or not. I kind of call it the honor test. Again, honor lifts up, it encourages, it builds. And many of you would say, well, you know, I can't treat this person with honor money because they're not honorable. No. Write this down, all right? Here's what I think. Respect is earned. Respect is earned, but honor is given. Honor is freely given. And you may think, well, I'll treat you with honor when you're living honorably. And listen, you can't treat with honor because they are living honorably. I mean, you can treat with honor because they're living honorably, and the honor which you bestow upon them, even if they're not living honorably, you can treat them with honor, and the honor that you bestow upon them begins to lift them up to live honorably. It empowers, it encourages, it brings a smile to their face. And I think the reason our country may be the way it is today, it's because over and over again we have been devaluing people by being dishonoring. And tragically, we have become a culture, for the most part, that is without honor. That is without honor. And so I'm calling us to live out what 1 Peter 2 says right here. This is kind of the guidebook for the culture of honor. Says, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect and honor to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. You see, it's this culture of honor that God is calling us to. And the world's watching. And as you live that honor out, this passage says you can silence their talk. Just by living differently, just by beginning to have this culture of honor, and you begin to live that way and submit to God's call in our lives to be a people of honor and doing it out of our delight, not out of our duty. And people will see that. And they'll see how we honor them. They'll see that it comes from a pure heart, and it will bring change. It will bring change. And so let's become a people of honor. Okay? And next week I'm going to talk about five areas that God's Word teaches us that we need to honor. And then talk about how to do that. Pray with me, please. Let's just be still right now in this moment and maybe just honor this moment even. This opportunity that we have at the end of our worship time every week to just to be still and listen to God and His Spirit speak to us. I mean, right here in this place, in this space right now, eternity may change for someone. Right where you are, just say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me? What are you saying to me today? You know, I think some of you don't show honor to others because you don't honor yourself. And maybe this morning you find yourself here and you're living this life of regret or shame or guilt. Listen. Before you can honor someone else, you must ask God to set you free from the stuff of your own life, in your own life, and begin to honor yourself. Because God loves you. So open your heart and let God come in and just begin to cleanse you from all your unrighteousness, all the stuff that you carried in here this morning and just get free. Honor God by just surrendering yourself to Him in this moment. Beginning to understand how He sees you and how He loves you. And how He wants you to be able to honor yourself so that you can honor others. And really begin to experience the blessings that He has for you. So right now, right in this place, do what you need to do in order to get right with God. Listen, God wants to make you a vessel of honor fit for His use. And you might say, Money, how's He going to take this junk and make it a vessel of honor? Jesus. Jesus wants to forgive you today and cleanse you from all your unrighteousness and all those things that keep you from being all that God wants you to be. So right now, right here, will you submit to Him today? Would you allow that to be a desire of your heart? Just right now, say, Jesus, thank You for paying for my sin. I receive what You did for me on the cross. Forgive me, cleanse me. And I invite You, Holy Spirit, to come in and live inside of me and make me brand new. Come in, be my Lord. Be my Savior. God, today I give You my life totally and completely to You. I surrender all. Oh God, help us to be people of honor. And may it begin, God, by the way we honor You. Help us set our hearts to honoring You, God, in every area of our lives so that we can begin to honor others. And as we do that, God, bring Your blessings. Bring Your presence. Change us, oh God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.